I'm going to begin reading in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I would ask you, please, one last time to stand with me in honor of God's Word. And as I read Romans 5, there in the New Testament, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Oh, I could read the whole chapter. It's a tremendous discourse on salvation. But I want to draw your attention back to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. I want to preach to you this morning a little while on the benefits of faith. The benefits of faith. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray You would calm our spirits, calm our hearts, open up, Lord God, our spiritual ears to hear this morning. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to take full control of each one of us. I pray for these teenagers, God, that they would sit still and listen. I pray for each adult, Father, that they would listen on purpose. God, that my heart and my mind, I surrender, Lord, unto Thee this morning. Lord, I know that there's been many things throughout the morning already that have tried to fight, Lord, what You want to do here. But Father, I thank You that You're greater than he that's in this world. And God, I plead that shed blood of Jesus that we just sang about, and Father, this morning to give us power, unction from on high. Lord, save the lost this morning, please. Draw Your people closer to You. Encourage us this morning, I pray, Father. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. The benefits of faith for a little while this morning. There in chapter 5, verse 1, the first word, it says therefore. And the word therefore in the Bible is always a reference to something that was said previously and that plays a very important role in what's going to follow next in the Scripture. Therefore, in verse 1, chapter 5 of Romans, is a reference to the last two verses of chapter 4, right above them. Look there with me, and I'll read these last two verses of chapter 4. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, you see how it flows right into the next chapter. Because of those verses, because of the verse 24 says, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and then it ties in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5, it says, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. Notice, by faith. So the common thread here in chapter 4 at the end, and then beginning in chapter 5 at the beginning, the common thread is the faith that God is talking to us about. The faith that is believing on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That is saving faith. Saving faith is nothing more than us believing on God. Amen. Believing. Now, I didn't say believing in God or believing that God is real or believing that God exists. What I said was believing, and what the Scripture says is believing on Him. Let me tell you the difference here. I believe, just for illustration, I believe this is a book, this is the Bible, this is a book with pages and ink, and I believe this exists, okay? I believe this exists. But what the Bible talks about in believing on Him is, let me just use this for example. This pen, I'm going to put this pen on this Bible and believe that this Bible is going to hold this pen. Now, it's one thing to believe that this exists. I mean, it's here. I can see it. There's proof. It's right here in my hands. But to believe on it, well, will it hold my pen? Well, I think it will. Okay, there it goes. Now, I believe this chair exists. Do you believe this chair exists? Amen. Do you believe this chair is real? Well, sure it is. Now, will this chair hold me? You know, I've seen chairs fall before. Not for me. I don't think. Well, if it ever happened that way, I won't admit it. But I've seen chairs fall apart before when somebody sat in them. But I have to believe this chair is pretty sturdy. Now, I believe that chair will hold me. Are you listening? I believe this chair will hold me, just like this Bible held my pen. I believe this chair will hold me. Now, I could say that all day long. I could say that all day long. But it's not going to mean anything to me until I, by faith, I do it. I sit in it. Now, faith is not just believing that God exists. Faith is not just believing that God is real. Faith is not just believing. You can look outside and see the sun and the stars and the moon at night and the creation of the world. You only an overeducated scientist would believe that that happened by chance. Who thinks, literally, the Bible says, he professes himself to be wiser than God, therefore he becomes a fool. But any fool can look out and see that there's a tree out there that started with a little bitty seed about that big. Right. And years later now, it's a mighty oak tree. Any fool can see that there's somebody had to create this world. But that's not salvation. That's not faith. That's not saving faith. Saving faith is placing my life on God, in God's hands, believing that He will take me to heaven when I die. Amen. It's completely different. Benefits of faith this morning I'm talking about for Sunday morning's crowd. I appreciate you being here, and I know that we believe in God. You wouldn't be in church if you didn't believe God existed. Believing in God, a lot of people talk about it, but do you understand the Bible says that even the devil believes in God? The devil believes there's a God. I mean, after all, God created the devil. The devil has seen God face to face in heaven. But that's not salvation. Salvation is believing, notice, on God. Placing your life on Him, in His hand. Now, there are some benefits, obviously. I want you to understand something. Look in verse 24 of chapter 4 again. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. We should never give anyone, including, now listen, this is going to sound a little bit odd to you at first, but bear with me for a minute. We should never give anyone, including Jesus, the place that God, the Father, deserves when it comes to salvation. You see, God is the one who sent His only begotten Son. God is the one who gave Him to be crucified. God is the one who had the plan to send Jesus Christ to be crucified, buried, and risen again. It was God's plan of salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, God is the one that came up with salvation. God is the one that is, through His power, raised Jesus. What it says there in verse 24, God raised Jesus from the dead. God is the one that sent Him in the first place. God is the one then that raised Him from the dead. God is the one who has the power to save the worst sinner you can think of. It's God's power that saves them. And in our lives, if we talk about faith, listen, it's faith in God. It's faith believing on God. And obviously, we can worship Jesus, and we do, because He's the one that made it happen. He's the one that came and obeyed His Father and finished the work. Amen. A song was going through my mind earlier this morning that He did not come down. He did not come down. I mean, he could have called as many angels as He wanted to. They were all waiting for His beckoning call. They were all standing there watching Him be crucified. But He did not come down. Now, God sent Him. And when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, think about this, He said, Jesus began to pray to His Heavenly Father, and He said, "Oh, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will." Whose will was it? It was God's will that Jesus died. It was God's will that you and me be able to be saved. It was God's plan that we be born again. It was God's power that saves our souls. It was God's power that raised Him up from the dead. It's God's salvation. And we place our faith in God and on God, believing that He will hold us, that He will keep us, that He will save us. Dear friend, listen to me today, and He will, and He does forever. Amen. It's because of Jesus. It's through, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Who's the gift from? God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, yes. You must believe that Christ died for your sins. You must come to an understanding and acknowledging the fact that you are unworthy, that you cannot come to God except through Jesus Christ. Yes, but when you get saved, amen, the power of God, it's a gift from God's hand. Amen. Salvation. It's God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. By this saving faith, then, that is placed in God and on God, as Christians, by God's grace. By the way, I'm going to stay right there as long as the Holy Spirit tells me to. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Whose grace was it? God's grace. Whose gift is it? God's gift. Whose salvation is it? It's God's. The Bible says in Psalm 51, David cried out to God in repentance from his sin, and he said, "Oh, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation." We have no salvation. Oh, thank God for His blessed book. Yes, thank God for His blessed Holy Spirit. Yes, thank God for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Yes, thank God for the blood of Calvary. Yes, thank God for the empty tomb. But oh, my soul, what would it mean to me? It would mean nothing to me if it were not for the saving grace of God that gave me the gift of eternal life by God's grace and His power. Amen. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's faith. Faith is not just believing and believing, believing until it happens. We can't make anything happen just because we believe it's going to happen. That's not what the Bible talks about. Faith is taking the Word of God and placing your faith in the God of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That faith, when you get saved, because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because God told you to, that faith has many benefits, many blessings. Hey, listen, these are things that the world does not have. These are things that the unsaved person does not have. These are things that a lost man can never enjoy. These are things that the hardest working citizen, the one who pays his bills and takes care of his home and his family, dear friends, these are benefits of faith in God and only faith in God. No matter what else you do, you cannot have these things except through faith in God. Amen. Saving faith. Number one, it says, we are justified. Now, the word justified is not a common word that people talk about on the streets every day. But it means this. Simply, it means to be declared righteous. Or I could even say it to you this way. It means to be declared innocent. Declared innocent. If I were to stand before a judge in a courtroom. The easiest way to understand justification is to go in your mind's eye to a courtroom. There's a judge there. You've broken the law. And he's going to judge you for what you did. Now, you go to the judge and you say, "Judge, what's up, Judge? You know, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry for what I did. Can you just give me a break? Can you just let me off this time? I promise I'll never do it again." Now, that may work for a crooked judge. You may say, "Hey, Judge, you know what? I got a cool $1,000 in my pocket. It's all yours if you let me go." And don't think that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
That may work for a sinful judge. That may work for a human judge, but that does not work with the Almighty, righteous, perfect, and true God.
Amen.
You can't just go to God and say, "God, please forgive me. Hey, listen, I know some of you maybe are visiting with us, and I appreciate you being there. Those of you who are church members, we've got to understand that asking God for forgiveness is not salvation.
Amen.
That's not salvation. Because it's just no different than you going to a judge and saying, "Will you please forgive me and let me off the hook?" But wait a minute. But you're guilty. You've already broken the law. You've already sinned. You've already disobeyed God. You've already lied. You've already cheated. You've already stolen. You've already committed any number of sins. And listen, we're born that way. We're born in that nature of sin. And we can't just go to God and say, "God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I promise I won't do it again." But the fact is that that is not salvation. Salvation is when Jesus came along and said, "Father, I'll pay their debt." Judge, God, in walks the courtroom. In the back door walks a man named Jesus. And he walks up to the father, to the judge beside you, and he says, "Yes, Pastor Fogg, Brother Fogg, not yet, but Brittany Fogg, let's use her. Brittany Fogg is guilty. But Judge, I'll pay her debt. I'll pay for her fine. Matter of fact, I'll do the time. I'll go to jail for her. I'll do it. And the judge says, "Really?" And he said, yes. Matter of fact, Judge, I've already been to the county, to the clerk's office. I've already paid the fine. Her debt is paid. Judge, I submit to you that she should be allowed to go. Now listen, the judge then looks at Brittany Fogg, for example, and says, okay, you are guilty, but because your debt has been paid, I'm letting you go free. You're still guilty. You still broke the law. But someone else came in and paid for your sin. Someone else came in and took your penalty. Someone else named Jesus Christ, in this case, came in to your life and said, look, you've already sinned. You've already committed a disobedience unto God. You've already rebelled. You've already made... And listen, but so justification is not that I'm innocent. It's I'm declared innocent because someone else took my place and paid my fine. Now, listen to me. That's a benefit. Listen, hey. That's a benefit that the world doesn't have until they accept it as their own. The world is not justified before God. The world is guilty. The world, according to John chapter 3, is already condemned. They're already condemned. In other words, they're guilty and they're sentenced, and as soon as they die, they're going straight to hell. They're already condemned. They're not going to die and go to and then go to stand before God and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, God. Now I'm sorry." No. They're already condemned. The sentence is already written off. It's already done. It's already sealed. But then Jesus Christ paid for all of their sin, just like He did mine and yours. Amen. The difference is they have to place their faith in God, who sent Jesus Christ to die for them. Then, through Jesus Christ paying their sin, they willingly accept it. Okay, Judge, I know, obviously I cannot be forgiven, but I accept His payment for my sin. I believe He paid for my sin. Will you then save me? And God says, yes, you are justified. You are declared righteous. You are declared, and you're not, listen, it never means that you didn't sin. It never means that you're not guilty. It always means, though, that somebody else came in and paid for your sin. The righteousness of God is given to us. It's as if God put His righteousness in your bank account. I've used this illustration before. But as a sinner, let's put it this way. As a hard-working young man, I'm paycheck to paycheck. I can't save any money because it all goes to bills. And I got to eat. And so all my money just keeps going out of my every month. It just keeps going, and I'm thankful God I got another paycheck, and it's gone. So here's what happens is God comes along and says, "Okay, I'm going to just deposit $1 million in your bank account. It's all yours." See, it's not yours. You didn't earn it. God just put it in your bank account because of Jesus. See, salvation is not mine. I didn't earn it because I'm so good or because I just really wanted it really bad. But God came along, and because of Jesus, I accepted Christ's payment. God came along and said, "Okay, here, it's in your bank account. It's yours. You are saved. You're justified. You're justified." That's what it means. The benefits of faith. Now, by the way, benefits of faith for one reason. You can never earn this by your own merit.
That's right.
You can never be justified. Again, I'll go back to the courtroom just because you want to be. You have to come through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Salvation comes from God through Jesus Christ. And then that's faith. See, instead of me trying to be good, instead of me trying to pay off my judge, instead of me trying to make up for it, because I can make up for it all day long, but I'm already guilty.
That's right, yeah.
I'm already guilty. So I can't change that situation. It's already done. So Jesus came along, and the world doesn't have that. They can go to religion, they can go to church, they can read the Bible, they can pray and ask God to forgive them. But unless they come through Jesus Christ, placing their faith on God who's raised Him from the dead, then that faith is what justifies them, and only that faith.
Amen.
Oh, the world, bless their hearts, they try so many times, they're so misled, so misguided, trying to do things their way. But faith is where you stop. You just stop trying to do it your way. You just stop trying to be good. You just stop trying to earn it. And you say, oh God, I quit. I give up. I can't fix it. I accept Jesus Christ. Oh, dear God, yes, with all my heart. Please save me because of Jesus Christ. And the minute you say that, justified forever.
Amen.
Forever. Because of your faith in God. You're not innocent. Again, don't ever walk out of a church after you got saved and think, well, I am innocent now. I never did anything. You're forgiven. You're justified, but you're not innocent. We're still guilty. We're still guilty. But we're justified. Amen. Isn't that precious? God, praise the Lord for His justification. I'll go on to the next one. We, therefore, being justified by faith, notice we have peace with God. Whew. Next time I come before that judge, He's no longer my judge. He's my Father. He's my Father. And instead of me being judged, He's my Father. And now the relationship has completely changed. Instead of me standing before Him as a judge where I'm guilty, now I come to Him as a Father, and there's no more anything between us. There's no more barrier between us. I'm forgiven, I'm justified, I'm saved, and I have peace with God. Now, I remember before I got saved, and some of you this morning may not be saved, and when you think about sin, and when you think about God, and you think about hell, and you think about judgment, there's no peace in your heart. There's no peace in your heart. When you think about God, you think about, I got to run. I got to get out of here as fast as I can because He's not happy with me. I'm a sinner and I know it. And you don't have peace. God is holy and righteous and perfect and pure. And listen, He will judge. He has always been a judge. And He will judge unrighteousness and give it exactly what it deserves. But when I am justified because of Christ, I have peace. I can go to God in prayer now with peace. I can come to church now and hear the preaching of the Word of God at peace. Knowing that God loves me, knowing that I'm His child, knowing that He's my Father. We're not born children of God. Are you listening to me? We're not born at peace with God. The Bible says quite the contrary. Sin made us guilty. Sin condemned us. But sin even made us enemies of God. Look in verse 10. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were enemies, church. Before you got saved, not only did I not have peace with God, but I was an enemy of God. Now, I may not have wanted to be an enemy of God, but I was. And think about, that's why you didn't just go happily go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, because you were an enemy of God. But through Jesus Christ, by faith in God, by faith on God, because of Jesus Christ, I'm justified as if I had never sinned. Then I have peace with God. Oh, you know how many times I've stood on the doorstep with people telling them about Jesus, telling them what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Telling them about how because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm going to heaven now. And because of your sin, you can't go to heaven. You can't just walk into heaven because your sin has separated you from God. And boy, before I start reading some scripture to them, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None are righteous. No, not even one. All are guilty before God. Already condemned. And boy, you just see their countenance go. And they just get real serious. And they kind of start looking down. And they're listening, but they're kind of They're not smiling anymore. Because the Holy Spirit of God is pouring out conviction on their heart. And they're beginning to realize that they're going to hell. They're going to hell. But then I turn around and I say, but wait a minute. You don't have to go to hell. Amen. I'm not here to send you to hell. If I wanted you to go to hell, I'd just stay home and enjoy my life. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I'm here to tell you about faith in God, that you can be saved, you can be justified, you can have eternal life, you can be rescued from hell. And boy, then I turn over to the scripture, it says, the gift of God is eternal life. And the love of God that God commends to us is Christ died for us so we don't have to. And then I tell them that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I tell them that, and I show them in the scripture so they don't think it's my word. It's God's promise. It's God's word. You can be saved. And boy, they bow their head and they say, oh God, I'm guilty. Oh, I'm guilty. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I trust you. I ask you to forgive me and save me because of Jesus. And then they open their eyes, and boy, there is when they have peace.
Amen.
That's when they start to smile. And I look at them, I say, you know, that smile wasn't there a minute ago. I pointed out on purpose because I want them to understand that what just happened to them is real and it's God's power.
Amen.
And it's all because of you placing your faith on God's Word. In God's Word. Because of Jesus accepting God's payment. And then you have peace. How many times I remember before I got saved. Oh, I remember it all too well. I would walk out of church. I grew up in church. I grew up from the time I was 7 years old, I think. No, wait a minute. Way before that. As far as I think I was 2 or 3. I don't remember much about those days. But I was in church my whole life. But when I walked out of church, I didn't have peace. I didn't have peace. And I keep going to church because that's where my parents took me. But I walked out of church, I didn't have peace. I didn't have peace. Oh, I heard it all before. I've heard about Jesus 100 times. I heard about the cross and Easter and Sunday and Christmas and resurrection and salvation and heaven and hell. But I didn't have peace. But boy, on May 13th, 2004, finally, I placed my faith on God.
Amen.
Because of Christ that God sent. And finally, I have peace. Peace with God. When I think about God now, I don't think about hell and judgment and fire and brimstone. I think about peace and heaven and righteousness. Forgiveness, salvation, freedom. Rescued, saved, saved, saved. Do you know that only comes by faith? By faith in God because of Christ. At peace with being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh boy, you know, I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight to try to make excuses about why I don't want to be a Christian. Or I don't have to strive with God and strive with the whole. I don't have to try. Listen, I remember there were nights. I remember a boy named Joseph. When I worked at another job, secular job, before I was a preacher. He began talking to me about salvation and talking to me about what it meant to be saved. He wasn't saved. He didn't have this peace. He wasn't justified. He was guilty and condemned. And he used to talk to me, say, well, what about this and what about that and what about this? And I would tell him scripture and I'd give him verses and I'd tell him what the Bible says. And boy, we worked together every day, so we'd talk all the time. And finally, I mean months later, finally he got saved. I mean, he got saved, but here's what he told me. He said, you know, there were nights where I would lay in bed, I would think about what you said, and I would think about what the Bible says, and I would not be able to sleep. I would wrestle, roll back and forth, and I would try to make excuses about, well, what about this? Well, I don't. And listen, the fact is, he had no peace. Finally, he gave up. He placed his faith in God. And through Jesus Christ, he got saved. He's now married. I married him. And he sent me a picture a few months ago, of, I think they've got at least one kid now. And he's in church. And he's got peace. Do you have that peace? Not if you haven't placed your faith in God. Now, I didn't say you believe God exists. I didn't say that. You've got to place your life in His hands. I'm justified. I have peace with God. Notice again in verse 2, it also says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access into the grace of God. Not just because by my faith, God let me into His grace. God let me into His grace. Are you listening? When I place my faith on God, place my faith in God's Word, in what He told me, I believed it and I accepted it, and I placed my faith, my life, my heart, my future in His hands, then His grace just took over. Now, in other words, His grace just engulfed me. It surrounded me. It picked me up. It dusted me off. It made me broken, but before now I'm whole. It gave me sight where I was blind. It opened my spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. It calmed my heart. It gave me, but it's the grace of God took over. Where there was strife, now there's grace. Where there was guilt, now there's grace. Where there was weakness, now there's grace. You see, because of my faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know how people do it without the grace of God. I don't want to know. I tried. But the grace of God, not does it just... Let me tell you what grace is. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's where God blesses you, not because you deserve it, but because Jesus died.
Amen.
You and me on our very best day are miles away, light years away from the righteousness of God.
That's right.
Light years. There is a grand canyon between you and God's righteousness, between me and God, except for God's grace.
That's right.
Because of my faith, by my faith in Jesus Christ, in God's Word, placing my faith on Him, I now have the grace of God, not just to save me, but listen, but to help me stand. Stand. Christians are falling every day. Christians are falling every day. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about just falling out of church, falling out of the will of God, falling away from God's grace, falling away from their faith in their self, falling away back into the world, falling back into the darkness. Listen, but the grace of God, that because of my faith in God's Word, has gives me the grace to stand, the strength to stay. And you, has anybody asked you, well, where do you stand on that issue? Where do you stand on this issue? Like we're talking about the vote pretty soon. Where do you stand on this on this nominee? Where do you stand on that candidate? Well, folks, listen to me. I stand on the grace of God.
Amen.
I stand in the grace of God. I stand for the grace of God. And that's only because by faith that God has saved me now through Jesus Christ, I have access into the grace. Now I can stand.
Amen.
I look back at Robert and Delia and Priscilla, the Aguilar family, and you know why they're standing today? Because the grace of God saved Elma. And they know that. That's why they're standing today. I've seen some people who lost a loved one who couldn't stand. They just couldn't stand. I've been to funerals where they don't know that person's saved and they're gone and there's no hope. There's no peace. There's nothing but absolute terror, hopelessness. But not when you know where your loved one is.
Amen.
You can stand in that grace.
Amen.
You can stand in that grace. Because you know that by faith, your loved one accepted the gift of God and is now in the glory of God forever. You see, the world doesn't have that. You don't have that if you're not saved today. Teenagers, you don't have that if you're not saved today. I didn't have that. Nobody can have that except by faith. I have justification. When God sees me, I'm no longer guilty. I'm justified. When God sees me, I no longer have to worry about, oh no, I'm going to try to hide from, you know, we try to hide from our parents. We try to hide from the school teacher. Try to hide from the principal. Because we know we're guilty. But when we try to hide from God, it's foolishness. We can't. But I don't want to anymore. I'm at peace. I'm at peace because I'm saved. And then I have access to that grace where I can stand. Oh, life's winds blow and toss me about. Yes, they do. Hearts break. Yes, they do. Tears fall. Yes, they do. But by that grace, I can stand. And then benefits of grace, lastly, before I close this morning. One more I want you to see with me in verse 2. Wherein we stand, verse 2 at the end, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith, I can rejoice in hope of the glory. Now listen, this is the rejoicing that a Christian has, knowing that we are no longer separated from the glory of God. In other words, the word hope does not mean, well, I sure hope that I get up tomorrow morning. I sure hope that I pass that test. Right, kids? I sure hope that I get a raise. You don't. That's something that you just have. You just hoping, maybe wishing. But this is not. This word hope means a confident assurance and expectation. And I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I know that one day I'm going to be in the very glory, the very presence, the very power, the very majesty, the very royalty, the very radiance, the very heaven of God. I'm rejoicing in the fact that by faith in my Savior, through the grace of God, I not only get to stand while I'm here, but one day, listen, I'm going to be in the very glory of God. I'm going to heaven. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to heaven. No matter what comes my way, I can rejoice in the fact that that is my hope. If, as a saved person, and you've lost a loved one, you know, well, you know what? I'm rejoicing in the hope I'm going to see her again. I'm rejoicing in the hope. It's not a wish. It's not a maybe or maybe. No, it's a hope. It's a certain. It's a certain anticipation. It's a confident peace knowing one day I'm going to see my loved ones again.
Amen.
Because of faith in God's Word. I anticipate it with complete confidence. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when I get saved, I'm no longer short. I'm rejoicing in the hope that I now, one day, will be in that glory forever.
Amen.
These are benefits the world doesn't have. These are benefits that only a Christian has. Only one who has placed their faith in God. Not just knowing He exists. Justified. Peace with God. The grace of God to save me and stand, to help me stand. And then one day, the very glory of God. The very presence. Holy, pure, righteous. All majesty. All power. All riches. All wealth. All honor. All glory. All blessings are due unto Him. His glory is real. His glory is forever. And heaven is filled with His glory. And one day, because of my faith in God's Word, not because I deserved it, but I believed His Word and I placed my faith in Him, I get to be in that glory. I get to be in that very presence of God. If you're saved this morning, so do you. I said if, because I'm telling you, these are only benefits that you can have by placing your faith in God, in His Word, through Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning and if you died right now, I mean, if your heart stopped beating right now, your breath stopped, you stopped breathing the breath that God is lending you right now, where would you be? Where would you be? Bow your heads. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. No one's looking around. I ask you to please respect others around you this morning. We'll be done. We'll be dismissed in just a few minutes. But I want you, please, just honor this time, if you would. Christians, if you know that you're saved this morning, would you be praying, please? I want to ask you something this morning. There's a lot of benefits. These are just a few of the faith that you place in the Word of God through Jesus Christ. He justifies you. You finally have peace. You finally have peace. I remember many times I couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up and say amen so I could get out of that church because my heart was in such turmoil. I was so afraid of dying. I didn't want to be saved. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be that fanatic. But boy, there was no peace in my heart. This morning I ask you, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. No one's looking around. You say, preacher, I don't have that peace. When I think of God and I think of hell and I think of condemnation, I'm scared. I'm scared. I don't have peace. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Hey, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there someone else here that would be honest with God? Say, preacher, I don't have that peace. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I can't rejoice in the hope of heaven. I don't know. But would you pray for me? That's all we want to do. We're not going to embarrass you. Is there someone else here this morning that would say, preacher, pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't have that peace. Would you pray for me? Father, this morning I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, first of all, thanking you for these benefits that we receive by simply placing our faith in your word, in your promises, because of Jesus. Lord, now as we come to this so crucial time period of people's hearts, you've spoken to their hearts, Lord. Your word has been preached. Your Holy Spirit has spoken to hearts. Some of these hearts in here, Lord, are not saved. Father, there's some sitting here who do not have this peace. They don't have the peace. They're not justified. They're still guilty. They're still condemned. Father, if they died right now, they don't have the hope of being in heaven. They're very fearful that they might be in hell. Oh God, but your grace is sufficient for them. Your grace is extended to them this morning. So God, I pray that through your Spirit, that you would reach out to them this morning and you would give them, Lord, a desire to accept your payment for their sin, to leave here today with that peace, finally in their hearts.